Well, happy and blessed Wednesday. Is it Wednesday in the Delaware Valley? I am Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm in for Devon Givens. I'll be here with you till 10 p.m. Tyler Zuli producing the show, taking your calls at 610-632-0975. Wow, where do we begin? So I'm going to start with this tonight. Last night, I spent about 3 hours of my life reading through the NFL's 42-page protocol for training camp in the preseason. I spent a day going back and forth between NFL people and the players and the union, and it appears to me that there's going to be, an NFL source told me, they are very cognizant and aware of how Major League Baseball had to negotiate in public and turn things ugly, and they don't want to do that. So whereas you have the NFLPA president, J.C. Treader, putting things out on the union's website, the NFL is talking quietly and telling me how they feel. And the one thing is they don't want to be negotiating publicly, but it looks like we're set up for what could potentially be some nasty back and forth. But as I'm reading through the NFLPA and the NFL's training camp preseason protocols, 42 pages. You got the education section, the facility section, the travel section, the treatment response section, the media section, then the enforcement of protocols. I was blown away. I'm like, how in the world are they going to try and enforce this? This isn't like the NBA with the bubble. This isn't like Major League Baseball. This is the NFL. You're asking guys not to shower at the same time. You're dependent upon hotel staff and everyone else who doesn't even work for the organization to come in to disinfect. They're not even allowed to clean your room. There's all of this stuff listed in this protocol. And then, of course, earlier yesterday, Joel Embiid said he hated the NBA's bubble idea. And today at Philly's summer camp, we have Didi Gregorius and Gene Segura wearing masks on the field. Rhys Hoskins was the first person that we did a Zoom interview with who actually wore the mask for a Zoom interview for the video conference. Everyone else is doing it in the same room, but he's the only one who actually wore it then, and he said he's contemplating wearing a mask at first base or keeping it in his back pocket when a runner gets on first, then he'll put it on. We already know guys have opted out in Major League Baseball, and we also know guys like Mike Trout, Zach Wheeler, and others are debating what they want to do. They're conflicted about it. And honestly, I'm conflicted about it. 2 weeks ago, when I was here on a weekend, I said this is going to be a monumental effort. It's going to be a miracle for sports to be able to pull this off. Then last weekend, all it took was 2 or 3 days of Philly summer camp and going down to the ballpark and talking to Joe Girardi and some of the other players and seeing how seriously that they took it and what the effort was going to be like. And I said, maybe they really can do this. And then over the next couple days, different things start to trickle in. Guy like Adam Haseley doesn't test positive, but his test results never arrived, so he can't show up. They had to retest them. You have other instances around sports with different teams, like the Angels, who had to do their own saliva test because the test takers weren't there. And it makes me wonder, what are we doing? I go to a doctor's appointment with my daughter, and I can't even bring my wife and my other daughter because only one person can be allowed in. So I got a 6-year-old sitting there in a mask. Yes, life could be much more difficult. But this is what our life is. This is what our normal looks like right now. Yet here is sports trying to pull this off And I don't know if it's the right thing or just plain greed dictating the day because they need to get back out there for the economy. They need to get back out there to fulfill their contracts, the television deals. We know, and fans aren't going to be allowed at games initially, but you know they're thinking about it. When you see the Ravens today tell their season ticket holders that the most, if at all, would be 14,000. You know they're thinking about it. And I'm wondering, is this the right thing to do? It's been almost 4 months. I know everyone out there misses their sports. But when you have a 42-page protocol from the NFL, and I'll read you some of these things throughout the night. I'll read you some of what I think is going to be impossible to enforce. Impossible. Now, the first couple pages are, I thought to myself, like, I'm really looking at this. I'm in article, page two, section two, letter D, wash hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. If soap and water are not available, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer. I guess they really had to put that in there and tell players. You got to make sure that they know. So reading some of this, I thought was like, here's a few minutes of my life that I'll never get back. But some of the other stuff in there, I don't see any way for them to enforce it. Now, never mind the fact, right now, the NFLPA and the players don't even want to play any preseason football. The NFL's insistent upon two preseason games. The NFLPA wants a 48-day training camp. So the NFL told the union, all right, well, why don't you have the players start trickling into camp around July 15 instead of July 28, 2 weeks early, not for practice, but for an acclimation period where they could do some strength and conditioning so they can work out a little bit and maybe lessen the amount of injuries at the start of the season, because we saw that the number of injuries increased in 2011 after the lockout. And the union said, no, we're not going to do that. So they're fighting over that. They still haven't worked out the testing protocol. But based upon what they actually finalized and what's in these 42 pages, I don't know how they can pull that off. And then you hear Joel Embiid and other players in the NBA. Shake Milton on the Sixers. Other guys around the league who are wary of this idea, concerned about it. Are sports doing the right thing here? As much as you miss your sports, what they're trying to accomplish, this undertaking, this is a difficult task. And we're in a world where we don't know if schools are going to be open today. The Ivy League canceled sports for the fall. Schools are still debating it. Our school district in South Jersey still hasn't made a determination for our kids who are going to go into second grade in September. I'm not going to send them to school if they're going to sit there as a 7-year-old kid for 8 hours in a mask. I'd rather teach them at home. We saw what that was like for 3 months already. So we're looking at what is, to me, an uphill battle. And the NFL PA president, J.C. Treader, who's a Cleveland Brown center, said the last thing we want to do is return to work and return to play only to get shut down again. And I feel like that could be where we're headed. So 610-632-0975. Are you at the point where you look around the country, you look around the world, you see what's happening in real life, and while sports is your entertainment, your distraction, and you see what they're trying to pull off, yet there are so many reservations about it? A guy like Zach Wheeler, when I asked him about this over the weekend, do you wish that they would take this out of your control? The decision. And he said, yeah, maybe they could have done a better job handling baseball players who have pregnant wives and what they would do for them. Because it's weighing heavily on him. Mike Trout, he doesn't need the $13 million that he would make this year for playing 60 games. He don't need it. Why be there? But they want to be there for their team. They want to be there for their teammates. They want to be there because it's what they do for a living. It's what they love to do. They don't want to give up a season. So you can understand why they'd be conflicted. But are they putting these guys in harm's way, potentially? And listen, I'm not living in fear. I'm not at all living in fear. And to be quite honest, I don't even know what to believe when I look at all the numbers and everything else that's out there. I don't know what to believe and what not to believe. I've been fortunate to be in a great situation. When we were in Florida for 3.5 months, there was nowhere I would rather be quarantined than on the beach. Then we come home and Florida blows up. Now we're in Jersey. We're in a good spot where we are too. So everything's okay. But I feel like what sports is trying to do here, while I understand that they need to do this because of the billions of dollars associated with it, it's letting greed rule the day instead of the right thing to do by your players. And there are players, when you talk to them, who are resentful that they are even in this situation where they have to make a decision. And while you can sit back and say, well, yeah, it's easy. You're a millionaire, a multimillionaire. You don't need to play. Stay at home. It's still a difficult decision when this is what you do for a living. You don't want to let your teammates down. You don't want to let your fan base down. And you have to weigh one against the other. Are we setting everyone up for failure? I don't know. I want to hear your thoughts on this tonight. I'll give you my thoughts on DeSean Jackson. I spent 4 hours on Sunday talking about racism, anti-racism, and we had a great show. And I appreciated every single one of the calls and everyone who's reached out afterwards to say they listened, they appreciated the conversation. So I don't want to do another 4 hours after talking about this topic on Sunday, but clearly it needs to be addressed. So we will get into that too a little bit later on. And I will read you some of the NFL guidelines for return to play. Because I'll tell you what, some of this stuff I would probably fail at any other day. Like, have you taken Advil in the past X amount of hours, guys are going to have to fill out on game day? Yeah, well, I just took it yesterday. Does that mean I can't go to the 610-632-0975. TJ in Harleysville, you're going to kick us off tonight. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, TJ?
Not much. Just driving home from work. Before I start, great job the other day. I thought you handled it very professionally with talking about racism and all that Sean Jackson stuff. But regard to the COVID stuff, it's really hard. I think being someone who works in an office that has to have people come in and out to do work and all the testing that we need to do, I'm at the point where I don't think it's worth it just to, you know, play a season, put all these people at risk, put all these families at risk just to, you know, play a game. I think sometimes, as much as I love sports so much, I don't think it's worth it to put people's lives at risk.
I can't argue that, TJ, because as, you know, as a player, yeah, maybe you feel like, all right, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm in great shape. Look at a guy like Scott Kingery, man. When I saw Scott Kingery at spring training, I was like, wow, he looks better than I've ever seen him. He's jacked up. He's in great shape, all this stuff. And then he gets it, and he's talking about how difficult it was and how scary it was and everything else. And while you probably are going to recover, you don't know who else you're going to come into contact with. So as you said, man, it's hard to really understand how this is at all worth the risk? And with all the testing that they have to do, all of the testing they have to do, you would think maybe there's going to be some slip-ups here and there. We've already seen them. There's going to be guys who get false positives and all that stuff. So you would say, TJ, cancel sports right now.
I would say for the time being, cancel sports. It's not the athletes I'm worrying about. It's the lasting effects. If you get it, you don't know what it could do to you 10, 15, 20 years down the line. And, you know, your families, loved ones, elderly family members, you don't know.
I'm with you, man. I appreciate the call, TJ.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You too. And that's the thing. When you have guys who are potentially putting family members at risk because they have family members who are in higher risk categories. And of course, you got to look at coaches. You got to look at managers. The Phillies already have three coaches who had to deal with this. And fortunately for those guys, all of them are doing better. The NBA, I saw where Alvin Gentry's been delayed a little bit, and he will be able to join the team. He's 69. You have other coaches who are in their late 60s, mid to late 60s, who are potentially at higher risk. I understand the business side of it. I absolutely get the billions of dollars, gazillions of dollars that are attached to sports. I understand that. However, this isn't what normal society looks like. So when you have the governor of New Jersey today mandate that everyone has to wear a mask outdoors when they can't socially distance, and while I completely understand why, it makes sense because you got people congregating on the boardwalk and everything else, but this is what we're doing on a daily basis. You can't go into a doctor's appointment with more than who needs to be there. You can't go into a store with, and this is what we're living through. And here we are, the NBA is going to put players in a bubble and try to pull this off. Major League Baseball is going to try and do it without putting guys in a bubble. The NFL, of all the sports where players are on top of each other, all the time, they're hitting each other, they're sweating, they're doing this, they're doing that. There's so much that goes on there. Then you had the NFLPA, their medical director, say that he recommends specific face masks for players. This is the union's doctor. So the league said, okay, let's get our engineers, let's get our sports company together, which is Oakley, and let's work on devising these things, coming up with these masks. And then the players go, nah, we don't want them. When it's the union's doctor who recommended it, not the league's doctor. They got a task force, a joint committee. It's the league's people. It's the union's people. And they're all working together. And they came up with this 42-page protocol that I struggled through last night. And two things remain outstanding that they can't agree on, and that's the length of the preseason, where the players want none and the league wants two games. And the other is the testing. They still have to figure that out. I think and not to mention the economics and a league suggesting 35% of player salaries be held in escrow and players saying, yeah, right, that ain't going to happen. As much as they don't want it to turn ugly and turn into what baseball was dealing with, maybe baseball or maybe football will do a better job because the NFL folks won't publicly comment. My article yesterday, I had sources quoted, so they still got their point across. It's still out there, and they're not happy. And then Joel Embiid tells you he doesn't like what's going on. He hates the idea. Players in major leagues either opting out or debating whether or not they should opt out. To me, it seems like a no-brainer that this ain't going to work. Adam Haseley doesn't come to camp because, not because he tested positive, but because they couldn't get his result. They didn't even. What happens if that's in season? When you're in the middle of the season and they're being tested every other day, if the test result doesn't come back, are you going to keep the guy out 4 days until it comes? What are you going to do? How's that going to work? Are you going to go into a game where your starting pitcher's got to get scratched because you didn't get the result in time? And then you look at this NFL thing, and you have up to 90 guys, and I know they've discussed only taking 75 or only taking 80. It is going to be an incredibly enormous undertaking to try to pull this off. Players' gloves and uniforms must be washed daily. Well, of course. Clubs must use disinfectant detergent in all laundry cycles. That's good to know. If gloves are leather and they can't be laundered, a player must be provided with sufficient pairs so that they may rotate pairs every day. This is page 15 of the 42 pages. There's a lot of stuff in here, and we'll get to it. 610-632-0975. I know you miss your sports. I know you do. But players are voicing their concerns in the NFL, in the NBA, in Major League Baseball. I haven't seen, Tyler, you could tell me if you've seen anyone in the NHL adamantly express their concern, if anyone's really, I haven't
heard anybody.
Yeah, everything's been quiet with the NHL.
Yeah, it's kind of just been business as usual for the most part.
Yeah.
I'll go back and try to do a little bit of a deeper dive.
Yeah, but in Major League Baseball, you got guys opting out, guys telling you that they're conflicted about it. In the NBA, same thing. In the NFL, they're about to go to war over it. This is either not going to work, it's going to end before they can get started, before they can finish, or we're going to have like one major disaster. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. I don't think it is in this climate. And I know it's what I do for a living. I want to hear from you. Would you rather they just say, all right, let's hold off. It doesn't seem you're putting the players in difficult positions right now to have to choose between their livelihood and playing and potentially harming someone in their family. Is greed ruling the day in sports? 610-632-0975. We'll get into a little bit of DeSean Jackson, too, when we come back. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Rob Motti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti, and for Devon Givens tonight here till 10, 610-632-0975. Are sports doing the right thing? Not by the fans, but by their players. By their players. And by their players and by the players' families. And by the players who may be going home to a high-risk situation. And you could say, well, that player doesn't have to play this year. Probably doesn't need the money. Well, there are guys who do. There are guys who are first-year, second-year guys, rookie contracts, haven't made much, might not make much, might not stick around much in sports. Might be 3 years and back to the real world. So when you have players either opting out or expressing serious concerns in all of the sports, and then you look at what the protocols in place are to try and protect these guys when they play, it seems to me this is going to be an enormous, enormous task. I'm looking now on page 13 of the 42 under food service. Meal room access must be limited only to Tier 1 and Tier 2 individuals who have undergone required screening and testing. Clubs must further limit access, discouraging group dining or staggering meal times to permit physical distancing. What they have to do off the field to try and play is so far from the norm, obviously, since what we're all living through is so far from the norm. You can't help but think it's going to impact the way they perform on the field when you're not in meeting rooms or dining rooms together. It's going to impact the performance on the field. And let's not also forget the fact when you're looking at football, they had no off-season workouts. They had no OTAs, no mini camps. Training camp is going to look different if we even get to that point. And they may not play any preseason games, even though the NFL is insisting upon two right now. That whole first month of the season, if there is one, is going to be sloppy, horrible football. And of course, what happens when the star quarterbacks, the starting quarterbacks, potentially either test positive or are in exposed to someone who is? It's going to make the club must maintain a supply of the following PPE for use by the medical staff, and you have to have a 2-week supply at all times. Now, you're talking about billion-dollar companies. They shouldn't have a problem getting N95 masks, goggles, full face shields, gowns that are FDA approved and meet all the standards and the medical grade gloves. So they shouldn't have a problem. But are they potentially taking away from others in the country? We talked about that with the testing. And when I spoke to Troy Vincent, who's the NFL's executive vice president of football operations, number two guy to Roger Goodell, he said, no, we will not take anything away from society. We will not take it away from the public. We don't want to take their... It seems to me that it's going to have to be done that way, though. So are sports doing the right thing by their players, or are they just being greedy? I know fans, I know you miss your sports. I know you do. It's been 4 months. I know you miss your sports. But we're not living in normal times. Like, I got to walk into a doctor's appointment and then at the doctor's, because I want my wife involved in the diagnosis, we have to call her, and now we're discussing everything and what they saw and all this stuff and all that. It's not normal. What we're doing is not normal. So how are we going to try and have a sports season? You have Rhys Hoskins talking about, I'm going to put a mask in a Ziploc bag in my back pocket probably, and when a guy comes on first base, I'm going to put that on. You have Gene Segura and Didi Gregorius wearing masks out in the field on second base and shortstop in the field. But NFL players who are closer and NBA players who are closer aren't going to wear them, and understandably so. You're playing a sport. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to wear anything while you're playing. I don't know how. I watch people jogging, wearing, and I go, why? Why are you wearing a mask while you're jogging by yourself in the middle of nowhere? There's no one around. Paul in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Paul?
Yo, what's going on? I got a quick thing about all this and these players opting out and stuff like that. I just don't understand how, as a player, what they're necessarily scared of or anything like that. The facts are that people under 45, which pretty much every athlete is, it's like a 0% mortality rate. And these athletes are like top condition, eating the top quality food, everything like that. Like, what's the big deal if like one player tests positive? Like, if the way that things are moving, if one player tests positive, it's going to shut down the whole league. So I feel like they got to do kind of all or nothing with this. Like, either, like,
yeah,
just shut it down for a year, or, like,
And you said, what are they afraid of? And I'll tell you, in conversations with several players, numerous players, I haven't heard anyone express concern with their own physical well-being, but their concern is, when I go home, I might be affecting my wife or my kids or my family or someone else. So I don't think, I mean, even a guy like Joe Girardi, who's a little older, obviously he's in his 50s, he's like, I'm not worried about myself, I'm worried about family. So that's the problem. They're concerned about not themselves, but we hear about asymptomatic people can impact other people. So if you got a player who's out there and is asymptomatic, doesn't know he has it, may infect a parent, may infect someone at home, that's the bigger concern. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but another thing that just frustrates me is, like, all right, someone at home who, like, they're scared of getting infected. Well, they're at home, and maybe Joe Girardi's out coaching the team, and his wife goes to the supermarket. Mm-hmm. She has probably even more of a chance than players that are so self-contained. So I just think, like, they're overstepping so much to the fact where it's like, with all these rules and regulations in place, there's just no way they're going to be able to go on with the season. Like, absolutely not.
That's the thing. I don't know how they follow all these rules and regulations. Like, I don't know how you get 90 men in an NFL locker room and you tell these guys to stagger their shower times. Like, they want to get showered and get out, you know? Like,
no shot they're going to do that. No shot they're going to follow these rules. And one last point before I go.
Sure.
These tests are, like, 70% accurate. So, like,
that's a
and
problem.
Again, like you said, when you wait on the test results, like, they're gonna be getting a ton of false positives, false negatives. Mm. It's just so unreliable. And, like, when you're testing every 2 days, if the test is, like, 70% accurate, in 10 days you're gonna get a false positive just based on odds.
That's a good point. The chances are you're getting tested so many times, the odds are you're eventually going to test. Yeah, you're gonna get a false positive. They're gonna hold you out. It's 100% going to impact the performance and the product that we see on the field, on the court, if we even get to that point. Paul, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good one. Let's get to Adam in Colorado. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Adam?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, bud?
Good, man. I'm with everybody. I want sports so bad. I'm just dying for it. But it's not time. It's not right. They're not ready. Just the fact that someone could die alone. So they've got to hold back. But the biggest thing is the distraction. This country doesn't deserve the distraction. Mm. We need to face what's going on right now. Every time there's something major, we look for something to distract us. And all the effort is being put into sports, and what we're listening to needs to go into what this country is going through right now.
And I'm sure you're talking about the race situation and the tensions and all of that
stuff. Absolutely. Absolutely. We need to, we have to confront it as a country. We have to. We're not doing it.
Sometimes I think, Adam,
each other.
Sometimes I think, because I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. There is purpose to everything in life. And I believe when you have everything in the world put on hold, you got to utilize that time to benefit people. You got to utilize that time that we now have that we ordinarily wouldn't have had, right? We ordinarily wouldn't have had all of this time, whether it's at home together, whether it's no sports, no entertainment, no nothing. Let's figure out something that we could do positive. And what you're alluding to, that is certainly a positive that can come out of what has been a negative situation.
Absolutely. We need to find the positive, and that's the only way to do it is to focus on the negatives right now. We've got to confront them.
No doubt. All right, man. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
You got it. It's, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And I haven't touched on DeSean Jackson yet. And this is what I'll say about DeSean, because, like I said, if you didn't listen to me over the weekend, Sunday, we had a terrific 4-hour show Sunday night. And it was incredible. It was probably my favorite show, and I've been here at the Fanatic a little bit over 2 years now. It was probably my favorite show that I've done, because we discussed everything happening. And I came at it from a perspective of what I told you on the air on Sunday, what I've told you all the time. I come from a perspective of, I hate racism of any kind. I hate bigotry of any kind. I hate prejudice. I don't hate a lot of things, as a Christian man, I don't have hate in my heart, but I have hate in my heart for those things. And I feel like we need to certainly, first and foremost, if you treat everyone the way you want to be treated, I don't care anybody's color of their skin. I don't care anybody's anything, what they believe, all your differences. Just love. It's not hard to respect people, to treat people fairly, and to have love in your heart. As it relates to what Deshaun did, big mistake. Obviously, 100% he made a mistake. Having covered Deshaun's entire career in Philly, I will say I'm pretty sure he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know. That doesn't excuse it. By no stretch at all does that excuse it. But it would not shock me if Deshaun wasn't familiar with the situation and the oppression and what Hitler means, the significance of his name even, and the horror that he caused. It would not surprise me if he wasn't aware. And yes, he could have done a better job with the apology. Yes, he certainly could have done a better job with the apology too. So if you want to discuss that, we could bring that up too as well. But my main thing tonight is, are sports doing the right thing by their players? I know the fans want to see. You guys want to see it. I cover it. I'm conflicted about going to the ballpark. I'm conflicted about it. I'm not afraid. I'm just uncomfortable. It's different. But are sports doing the right thing by the players and in turn their families, putting them in this position to where they have to feel how they feel about it? My man, Chris in Pensauken, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Harper Ring, Carson King, stop it right now. Hello.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Yelling at my two little bullies, Carson and Harper. They're barking at the door of a squirrel. I said, come on, man. I named you guys after bright athletes.
I love it.
I have Harper Ring, and I have Carson King.
It's better than what my mom named the bunny rabbit who hops through her backyard. She named him COVID. She's like, because of COVID-19, she's like, it's the only visitor I get anymore, and it's a little bunny who hops in the backyard.
That's not right. If you go over there one day and that thing zipped in the backyard, I'm blaming your mom.
She's right around the corner from you, too, over there in Pensauken. She's in Maple Shade.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
I frequent there a lot.
Nice.
The pizza parlor that I grew up in, Port Richmond, their uncle broke off of those. She probably frequented it a lot.
Oh, cool.
That's pizza around, Tacanelli's. I don't know what Deshaun did or what he didn't do, but I give everybody a chance of being just, excuse my language, a dumbass, as my dad would tell me. He said, you get one chance at it.
Mm-mm.
I think he knew. I didn't think he knew what texture he was going to put it in.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows about Hitler, man. I mean, in Farrakhan.
You know what, Chris? I don't know if everybody, like you do, I do.
Yeah,
I've had conversations with Deshaun, you know, a good dude, right? Deshaun, and I'll go back to a situation in 2013 when my wife and I had a party to raise toys for kids at Children's Hospital. And Deshaun's like, I can't come, but I'm going to post about it on my social media, get people to say as many toys as possible. I mean, really hooked me up. We brought in like 5,000 toys. I was like, Deshaun, thank you. I don't know, man. I don't know if he knew, but it doesn't excuse it. Right, Chris? It certainly does not excuse it.
And if you ever do anything at CHOP again, you got my DMs. I'll hit me up. Cause that's where I told you about my tragedy They were the first ones. Dr. Anna, then I'll get back to sports. Dr. Anna Smith was the first one in the United States to be neuroblastoma cancer. So we took him out of another children's hospital and took him there. That's the first children's hospital, gave me 3 months with him. Mm. I got close to 2.5 years with him just because of CHOP.
Chris, how long ago was that, Chris? How long?
19, he'll be 29, so 24 years ago. I still cry every night.
My man, you're making me tear up, brother. Come on.
You know, just not,
I hear you.
You know, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
You never want to lose.
No, you definitely. No, I'm sorry you had to go through that, man.
Yeah, let me tell you, man. You hearing your updates? Your producer's kicking it out once again. But do you hear that update before you said it, when you were saying, "Are we giving these guys disservice and wanting to play?" That update said, "Me and your mom now tomorrow." I just heard it because I turned on you because I love you in a non-creepy way. Thank God your kids look like your wife. Thank God. I got to tell you, it just said on your airwaves. Now, starting tomorrow, I just informed my children, we got to wear a mask inside the building.
Yeah.
Now outside in public. Like,
I know.
Works, Cooper River and all.
Yeah.
And a lot of these dudes that you know on all these teams, half of them live over. They all live by my shop.
Yeah.
Like the catcher actually lives. JT lives four streets from my shop, and Klentak lives six streets from my shop. I mean, this is insane, man. I love sports, and I get it. And I want to be like, let's go, Rob. Let's go do it and play. Guess what? Custer told all his boys, let's go over that bluff. There's only a couple people waiting for him. There's about 5,000. It is not a good idea. This is not worth. Now, Rob, you're pretty sensible. You calm me down a lot because you know I can be. I can be an old hothead.
I know.
Let me tell you something. Remember your parents? Now I'm sounding like my dad. I love you, Dad. I hope you're not listening. It only takes one turn, son.
Yep.
Imagine if somebody dies.
Chris, you know what? Sometimes it's better to be smart than brave. Punch. Right?
Yeah, man. Me and you, we're up 7-6. It's going before halftime. We're there at 20. We go, want to do a trick play? Me and you, look, we go, no, we're punting. Punting. just punt, Rob. And on my way out, I'm not holding no grudge against DeSean Jackson. Everybody's like, well, he's 33, he's not 15. I said some dumb stuff that I realized. What the heck did I say?
We all do.
I'm 45 to my wife at the kitchen table, and she's looking at me. She's going, did you just say that to me in front of the kids? Because we need to talk after supper. But know who I am, and I'm not disappointed in him. I'm discouraged that he won't be on his soapbox. He does a very good job. Malcolm Jenkins should have been out on this, and he instead of Pete, man.
You know what? That did surprise me. But
surprised me. You have a blessed night. You
appreciate it, Chris.
Hugs and kisses, and once again, man, thank God they look like their mother, bro. Love you.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you, as always. Oh, man. I will say one of my girls looks like me, though, Chris. One of them. Melina is like my twin. She is. But the other one, they still got their mom. They got everything about their mom. They even got mommy's personality, mommy's attitude, mommy's get me this and get me that. Brandon in Hanover, you're 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Brandon?
Rob, it's good to finally hear you again.
Oh,
you
what's doing? Up, Brandon? How are you, buddy?
It's good to hear you on the air.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, look, I had to call in to weigh in about this COVID stuff, but I simply want to ask the question about the issue. Where are the priorities for people? Is it really in sports or in some things that really matter far more? You know, sports just doesn't last. This COVID-19 stuff reminds us that, you know, we love sports, yes, but is that more than the big stuff, than family and other things we've been given? And
it certainly shouldn't be, right? It certainly should. Like, sports, I think if anything, throughout this entire pandemic, Brandon, the 4 months that it's been, I believe a lot of people have learned that they don't need sports as much as they thought they did. And while it's entertaining and we love to watch and we love to invest our time, I think a lot of people learn that maybe all that time that I've invested in sports, sometimes it could be better spent doing other things. And I would always point to family time.
So in other words, to answer your question, no, I don't think sports should be coming back right now. I don't think it's safe, but I will also be watching it or listening to it. I'm not going to boycott it. Of course, it's a form of entertainment, but I'm concerned for these players. Yeah. I've been on the side of the players ever since all the negotiations began, and I think it's impossible to protect them. And in some ways, I really think these leagues are just wanting the entertainment value and the monetary stuff, and unfortunately the priorities in society are out of whack. But am I surprised by any of that? No, I'm not.
No.
Because that's the way we're wired as a society, and the priorities are off kilter.
Brandon, as always, appreciate your call, man.
Good to hear you, Rob.
Don't be a stranger. Thank you. Have a good one. Let me get to Mike in South Philly. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
I'm doing good. You know, there's a reason you'll never find LeBron James or Zach Ertz or Jason Peters quoting Adolf Hitler. This isn't a mistake. And what I'm saying is, every person makes mistakes. People deserve second chances. But this is a character thing. And we've seen DeSean Jackson over and over and over make the same mistakes. When this guy drops the ball before the end zone, that's a lack of awareness. But that lack of awareness is the same character that caused that same lack of awareness to quote Adolf Hitler. This is a guy that has many issues with all teams, whether it's missing meetings, fighting. He's the same immature guy that we saw 15 years ago. And there's a reason Chip Kelly got rid of him. There's a reason the Eagles won the Super Bowl without him. And we saw last offseason, the whole offseason, Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffries, they hung out with DeSean Jackson all offseason. They posted videos. And what happened? Both those guys had their worst seasons of their career. This guy's a terrible influence. He makes the Philadelphia Eagles a much worse team, and they need to release him immediately because they will never sniff a Super Bowl if this guy is continually to be on this team. We saw what he did in Washington. We saw what he did in Tampa, having major issues with coaches and missing meetings. Guys deserve second chances. But DeSean Jackson has had a million second chances on many different levels and has completely been the same guy he was since day one.
That Mike, I covered DeSean in 08 as a rookie, and last year, 10 years, 12 years later, he's come a long way. It's not fair. You can be absolutely justified in your anger towards DeSean for what he said or posted. You can be justified in that, no doubt. But you cannot say he has not matured in that 12-year span. I'm telling
Again,
you.
Quoting Adolf Hitler, I mean, if you took any person in the world, even someone that 1%
understood. Understood. Agreed. I agree with you. You can't do it. I agree with you. I'm not arguing with you there. I'm telling you, from knowing DeSean, I'm not sure he quite fully understood the magnitude of what he was doing. He
exactly.
certainly didn't.
And that's the problem. DeSean Jackson is not a smart athlete. He's a guy that's extremely immature. And remember last year, the first series of the Eagles season last year, versus Washington, DeSean Jackson, first series back as an Eagle. What does he do? He gets an unsportsmanlike 15-yard penalty, a very dumb penalty, because he got into a fight with the Redskin player. And the Eagles' first possession was ruined because he had to be an idiot. And
Mike, he also had 250, and I appreciate the call, Mike. I got to let you go. He also had 250-plus-yard touchdown catches in week one. So I think he more than made up for that 15-yard penalty. I'm not defending DeSean. I'm not telling you what DeSean. I'm not defending DeSean. At all. I do want to bring up something interesting, though. A little bit of hypocrisy in someone who called out DeSean Jackson. Someone who was here when DeSean was drafted. And I want to call out a little bit of his hypocrisy when we come back. 610-632-0975. The 6 p.m. hour, the 6 o'clock hour, is brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. 610-632-0975. I got an open line for you. Rob Motti, 975, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.